now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Caroline, Willie, D-Vays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. And joining us now is C-Mace, Chris Mason. Chris Mason, always appreciate chatting with you. The Milwaukee Admirals have punched their ticket to the Western Conference Finals. And you've been there. You've experienced this before. And you know how important this is to the development of this hockey team, the club as a whole. So whenever there might be people out there saying, and I don't care about minor league hockey, or I don't care about what the Admirals are doing, what would you say to those people? Why should they care?
Well, because I think it's, you know, it's the future of the team. And especially, I think, with this situation, you know, I feel like a large part of our fan base was really, you know, kind of down on this current group. And let's bring in the young guys and let's, you know, blow it all up and all that kind of stuff. And you know, and that's kind of what happened. And you got to see a lot of these kids come up and get put into to big roles and have great success. And you kind of got a real nice sneak peek at the future, I think. And, you know, in a normal year, you're not going to get that type of look for the younger guys. Even if they do get called up, they're not going to be in those kind of roles because, you know, typically you're not going to have half of your, you know, star, if you will, guys out of the lineup due to injury. So I feel like this is, for me, when a young player goes down and has an opportunity to win, I think winning is something that they're going to bring with them. You know, there's a lot of guys that you win at different levels, and, you know, that kind of carries through. And I think that it is the American League. It's a development league, but it's the best league outside of the NHL. So I think that for our fans and for the organization, I think this is obviously invaluable experience that our future players, our future stars are getting right now to, you know, to be put into these pressure situations. Askarov is playing out of his mind, and all these young kids, and Joachim Kemmel, who is, you know, he's a big prospect that obviously we haven't seen in Nashville, but top draft pick last year, and he's shining down there. So I think it matters because, you know, over half of those guys are probably going to be Nashville Predators at some point here in the near future. So I think it's big time important. I know my experience playing in the American Hockey League, I did it for 6 years, which is a long time, but I look back on that, I would have never made the National Hockey League had I not spent, you know, enough time to develop my personal skills, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well. And I think it matters. I mean, maybe it doesn't to some people, there's a lot of sports going on, but, you know, if you're a Preds fan and you know, you care about this team, I think it matters.
Mace, I want to ask you a little bit more about Kemmel, because as you said, you know, he really shined last night. He had 2 goals for people that didn't see the game. They won their game 5. They're moving on to the Western Conference Finals there. I didn't know what to expect when he came over, and we're still in sort of a snapshot, right? It's a long arc of a guy developing, especially at a young age, but I'm surprised how well he's produced given the circumstances. He's so young. He hasn't played a lot in that league, but he's become a little bit of a go-to guy for them, especially on the power play.
Well, I mean, you know, I hate to bring up this name because it's, you know, it probably draws some bad feeling, but if you look at another prospect, I would say in a similar skill level and was held in the same regard as Kemmel, same nationality as well, is Elli Tolvanen. And he came up and he couldn't, you know, he was fine and he was okay. He would score the odd goal, but he wasn't offensively dominant. He wasn't, you know, necessarily put in all those types of situations, or when he was, had the success that Kemmel is. And you never know what you're going to get with a younger player. But, you know, Tolvanen was a left shot, so he would, you know, probably play. There's not many guys in the National Hockey League that have success for whatever reason, I think because most goaltenders catch with their left hand. So we were texting about this the other day, but Leon Draisaitl's very few guys that, you know, can play that right flank side and score, you know, with consistency with the one-timer from there. It's always, you know, Ovechkin, Stamkos, it's those right shots. That spot is the go-to because for a goaltender, it's tough to get over and, you know, get your blocker and stick up to cover that part of the net. So I think with him being that right shot and you know, him having that, you know, that explosive shot, and he's you know, having success in the American Hockey League. And they just played, you know, Matt Murray, you know, obviously a veteran goaltender of a lot of, you know, NHL games, and he's blown it past all these kids. It's a good sign. It's not easy to score at any level, and especially for a young kid coming up. So that's a really good sign to see him. I'm not sure if we'll see him at the development camp or not, but so far so good from Campbell, no doubt about it.
Mace, you played in the longest game ever in Milwaukee history. So take us back to that. It was referenced the other night. They lost in double overtime to force the game five. They had the big first period last night. They jump out 4-0 and hang on. But take us back. This was what, 2003, 2002? What year was it?
Good question. You probably, you know way more about anything that I do, especially even my own career. But I remember being, it was in Cleveland. I remember that. And it was triple overtime. I remember like guys were just exhausted. And, you know, back then you don't travel the same way. You didn't have the same amenities as you do now. And it's kind of a grind. You know, you used to play four games in 5 nights, and it almost got, you know, funny. They're trying to get us food in there after the first overtime. It was all gone. Second overtime, and that intermission, guys, you know, my best friend, actually Ryan Tolbert, he could barely lift his arm, so they had to give him a, you know, a shot in the shoulder for him to get through the game. And you know, I can't remember if we won that game or not, but actually I do remember because the Predators were very young in their journey, and all the brass was there. So you talk about games not mattering, every single person, Barry Trotz and David Poile and everybody was in the building in Cleveland. And, you know, I remember just, you know, just having fun. And, you know, it was obviously playoffs, or we ended up losing that series. But, you know, you just go in and once you get in the zone as a goaltender, I think I have like 76 saves or something like that, which is quite a bit. But you just get out there and it's fun. And I think we won that game, but we lost the next game. But it's all good.
The last team from Milwaukee to go this far in the playoffs was 06. It was interesting. Aaron Sims shared the roster, and it kind of gives you the importance of here's the next set of guys on the way up. Shea Weber, Pekka Rinne, Kevin Klein, Greg Zanin, Jordan Tutu, among others. There's other guys that would be familiar names here, but it just shows you coming up through the pipe, it does help. Like Barry Trotz said, I think serial winners is what he's looking for, but you could see those guys setting the table the last time. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to have good players coming through if you don't win in the playoffs, but those experiences, like you said, going through, those are valuable experiences.
I really do think so, and I have been on teams on both sides of the spectrum where winning is not the culture, and sometimes you play pro sports, you know, it's maybe different, a little bit different, maybe not, but like guys were just happy, you know, hey, I'm in the NHL, I'm making a good living, you know, we're going to go out there and compete, see what happens, you know, that type of thing. But then there's other players and other teams and other cultures that you build that winning is everything. You win at all costs. Everybody, you know, sacrifices, and everybody does whatever it takes, whatever their role is, to win hockey games and to ultimately, you know, try to win a championship. And I really think that if you have that, you know, success when you're younger, in junior, you're going to go out there and you're still a kid. But now you're starting to, you know, become a man, and where sports isn't just a game anymore, and there's a lot of other distractions and businesses and other influences, and you know, it's a different mindset. And I think if you can win and have the experience, you know, that Milwaukee's having right now, where they're making a, you know, a deep playoff run, and they've had a bunch of guys, they went through a bunch of adversity, had guys, all the guys that we saw, they had to call up guys from the East Coast Hockey League or wherever to try to fill their roster, and they still found a way, you know, to win. And I just think all of these experiences just pay huge dividends for when the guys get to the NHL and they have that maturity, instead of just, hey, I'm just a young guy, I got no pressure, there's no expectations, I can just go out and play and, hey, I'll score a few goals here and there and everybody will be happy. If you are a winner and you have that winning attitude, that's all that matters. So, you know, I just think it's the level of expectation within the locker room and the individual just increases more if you have, you know, these winning experiences, these deep runs in playoffs.
Any thoughts on the NHL Final Four? It's the first time ever that the first two conference finals have both gone to overtime in each of the first two games. So four games that have gone to overtime. It's unbelievable. You're sitting there down 2-0 if you're Carolina And if you're Dallas and you're sitting there going, we could have won both these games.
It's crazy. I mean, it just, and also it goes to show you, you look at all the powerhouse teams. Oh yeah, we try to say it sometimes too. And you know, the NHL is a unique sport, I think, maybe baseball a little bit too, but you just have to get in. I mean, look at Florida. We played Florida going on that stretch, and they were down and out. They had a tough schedule. They had to do all these things, get some help from other teams. All of a sudden, they get in, and look, now they're up 2-0. Yeah, they're two overtime games. They're up 2-0, and they go into Carolina and win both games. It's absolutely crazy, the run that team is having right now. But it's just the parity in the league. It's no one's going to run Colorado last year. I think going into that playoffs, I knew that they would probably run over everybody. I think a lot of people that saw them play in the last part of the season and then what they did to Nashville and everybody else, they just kind of ran away with it. But this year was completely different. The East was stacked, had all those top teams, those powerhouses, but they ended up beating each other up. And in the West, I mean, I think, again, all you had to do is get in. And, you know, Florida's a team that just barely got in, and they're just going on a heck of a run, beat one of the best teams in NHL history. Then, you know, now they're up 2-0 on the Canes, who was my pick after Boston got beat to win the Cup. So we'll see. It's been fun.
Chris Mason is with us. C-Mace, I think that the biggest question looming over the Nashville Predators is what Barry Trotz decides to do with the head coaching position. You know, Barry Trotz has said several times, you know, at the postseason press conference, he said, I'm still going to be evaluating. He was on Robbie and Rexford a few weeks ago. He said, I'm still evaluating. What do you think it is that Barry Trotz is still evaluating about this coaching staff? What do you think is holding up this decision?
Well, I just think there's a lot of different things that, you know, I guess you prioritize on the list of things to do, because I'm assuming, you know, he was on a lot of those trips. He had full access to, you know, anything that he wanted. That John Hines had kind of invited him into that, which I think was a really smart move on his end. And so I just think this is, you know, Barry's first, you know, crack at this, and he wants to get it right. And I'm sure he's had communications with Hines or whoever, and just kind of letting them know the process. We're not obviously privy to that, but he wants to make this call right. Does he, you know, go with Hines? You know, was what they did in the last half, you know, good enough to earn him a shot? Or does he want to go in a different direction? Does he have somebody in mind? Do certain dominoes have to fall, you know, in the coaching carousel after, you know, the summer, and other teams have made all their decisions if he, you know, had somebody in mind that he wanted? I really don't know. But I think once, the Admirals are done with their playoffs and everything is kind of, you know, all set, and maybe some draft stuff, and I'm assuming you'd want to make that decision before free agency, which is obviously July 1st. So I don't really know. I just think there's a lot of housekeeping, bookkeeping issues that maybe might be in front of that, and some other things, some other dominoes that have to fall, or meetings that have to be had internally, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Chris Mason, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay, thank you guys. Take care.
Thanks, C-Mace. There is a very wild story, or maybe unusual is the better word, around the NHL going on in Toronto. How would we feel if this happened with a Ran Carthon, if this happened with a David Poyle or a Barry Trotz? This unusual GM-ing in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.